you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening to this live on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother. We have Dr. Nate Chapman. We have Dr. Keelan Hinton, and we are here for all of your mental health, community, attachment, needs, and everything else in between. As we always say, we thank everyone who continues to support the show. For those that would like to participate, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2B, P-S-Y-C-H, b2bpsych@gmail.com. As we always say, we'd like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL for allowing us to have this platform to talk about mental health issues within the community. But as we always say, any of the perspectives, ideas, or suggestions that you hear on this show are not supported by Marshall University or by WMUL, are not supported by any of their sponsors, affiliates, or supporters, but they are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, while some of this may be therapeutic, this is not what, Dr. Chapman?
Not therapy, ladies and gentlemen. There are probably a number of great people you can see in your area, wherever you listen across these great states. But this ain't therapy. I ain't give you no bill. So take this information at your own will. We do have knowledge for you. We hope it empowers, but don't try to sue us.
There you go. Exactly. So as always, we're going to jump. We got an hour, and we got a power hour today, so we're going to jump right into it. We think we got a great topic for you. First and foremost, how have you been doing, sir? How are things in sunny California?
Things are good. You know, they got right back up to the temperature I like, you know, right around 68, so didn't have to wear a sweater the other day. That was nice.
I hear you. Hey, you know, things are warming up in the greatest state in the world, West Virginia.
Greatest state.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Little in-group bias I got going there. We got a warm temperature there, and things are warming up, and things are getting better. Things are looking up. COVID numbers are going.
Did the groundhog see his shadow?
I don't pay attention to the groundhog. I don't believe in them shenanigans. I don't think that little man running out of that hole controls anything. So let's rock and roll. We got a good topic today, and This may be a two-part series. It may be a three-part series. We don't know. But today we're going to talk a little bit about relationships. We touch on relationships frequently, but today things might get a little bit sensitive. We'll talk a little bit about relationships. We'll talk a little bit about infidelity. And even more specifically, about men. Why, oh, why, oh, why? Do men cheat more than women? Do men step outside of their relationships and outside of their marriages more than women? And why? Is there a reason why? Are men just dogs? Or are we people and are there reasons? Do we look at do we look at it differently as a society when a man cheats and when women cheat? You know, is there a double standard? Are there realistic differences in how we approach relationships and the things that make us step outside of our relationships and seek comfort from others? So, this is where we are today. What do you think, Dr. Chapman? All right, wait. Well, before you start, what do you think? Is monogamy natural? Is it just, are we trying to do the impossible when we ask people to find one person and stay with one person forever?
I should have known he was going to take this route. I should have saw this coming. Well, first I want to say before I get to that question, yeah, we decided to tackle this because I saw something on my social media, and it was basically like a young lady who was on YouTube or something, and her idea was that men cheat basically because they want to upgrade from what they got. They chose you. This is why I heard it. They chose you, but they didn't really want you, and that's why they cheat. I'm not saying that's what we're going to say, but that's kind of led me to this topic. Okay, monogamy.
It's not good. When the good doctor starts with we in for it.
No, repeat the question.
That's sign number two. He's acting like a dude right now. Repeat the question. If you can't see him, he's drinking water. He's a little bit nervous today. We've never seen Dr. Chapman this way. Is monogamy natural? Are we asking people to do the impossible? Are we asking men to do the impossible? Is it natural to go out into the world and find one person and be with one person forever? I didn't say, is it doable? I believe that there are lots of people who go out and they're faithful. But the question is it natural? Is this what we should be promoting? Will relationships just be better off if we said, hey, I'm dedicated to this family. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave our kids. But every now and again, I'd like to step outside this relationship and experience some other people. Do you think people would be... I ask this question all the time. I wonder if people will be open. I wonder if people will be open to having... more open relationships if they knew that their partners wouldn't leave them. If they knew that their partners were dedicated to the family, dedicated to the children, and dedicated to their core, would it bother them so much? I understand that a larger part of it is we want to be our partner's everything, and it hurts that our partners are attracted to other people, and people take it personally as it's a personal blow to me. It's a personal blow to who I am as a person. I wasn't enough, you know? But I wonder if, I don't know, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's lots of different questions there. I mean, which one to tackle? I guess I'll go back to that first one about monogamy. I think it's hard for me to come up with an answer that I feel like is like a rooted in an absolute truth. I mean, and I think that, you know, you said, well, not so much about can people make it work, but just about it being natural. I'm going to veer away from a natural question because I don't really know where I fit with that. Like, I don't know. But I think in terms of the value of it and how realistic it is for it to happen, obviously that's going to depend on each person, but I can see the values for the people that choose to do it. I think the point you make about open relationships, I mean, I guess Will and Jada, is their relationship open? No?
I think so.
Okay. You know, so there's some people that make that work and it works out for them. I always wonder, after you've gotten to the point of it being a committed relationship, and I think when you're, you know, dating and stuff, then that's different because you might, you know, be dating to figure out who's going to be your partner. But I think when you're in a committed relationship, that there has to be some type of challenge, a number of challenges to being committed and being open. Now, that's, of course, because I haven't been in a committed open relationship. But I would think that the divided attention, it's kind of like, I mean, not necessarily the best example, but you know, people have kids, right? You can have a number of kids, and you like to say, you know, that, hey, every one of my kids, I love all my kids the same. There's no favorite. But every person who has lots of siblings know that somebody's the favorite. How it works out, you know? Is that a situation that people want to be in terms of relationships? I don't know. Maybe it would create a little bit of less stress if there was an understanding. Maybe it's not it's an open relationship where people can have these sexual endeavors and, you know, that's all it is. I don't know. I guess that's a different way to think about it. I don't know, man. The question's blowing my mind. It's a lot for me to think about right now.
I like the idea of children. I think that people can love their kids the same, but the notion or idea, I tell people, I actually had someone ask me, it was after a child development class, and it was a couple who was taking a class, and they asked me about the fears of having multiple children, and they don't want to love, you know, they're afraid that they'll love some of the kids more than the other. And, you know, I have two kids, and I said, and what I told them was, at least for me, I love my kids the same, but I don't love them the same. And I love them the same, but the way with which I love them is different because they have different needs. Mm. And I think that the more children you have, there are only so many hours in a day. And, you know, if my son is involved in extracurricular activities and my daughter isn't, and I'm constantly running to do stuff with him, there's an imbalance of time there. I feel the same about them, but there's an imbalance of time. And I wonder if, taking that back to partners, if there's something extra that you're doing outside of this home, you know, the way with which you are splitting time or sharing time or giving up your energy, you know, at some point or another, like, there's going to be a lack, or it's going to suffer in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the astute listener is like, well, yeah, but that happens anyways. Like, if a person gets a job or they do extracurriculars by themselves, like maybe they're just involved in church, there's going to be something that takes away. But there seems to be like another element to, if it's another person, another relationship that takes away. Okay, you spend your time, you know, you're doing the good Lord's work, that's okay. Some extent, but like, no, you can't be out there with Susie May. That's not okay. You know, it's the difference in where that time is going for a number.
Yeah. So again, why? I think probably this all stems from it. We won't, because we know we got hit on men. That's specifically what people want to hear about. So we'll hit this two more seconds, and then we'll transition. But I wonder if a larger part of it is the unrealistic expectations that we have about marriage. And people believe that you're marrying me because, like, once we get married, something magical is going to happen. And it's going to make us even more deeper in love than we were before. And because you're marrying me, you're saying, I'm the apple of your eye. And you stood in this church and you said that you would forsake all others before. You know, I think people think that something magical is going to happen internally. And one of the things that my grandmother and my mother told me, shout out to my mother, Deborah in Memphis, and Ali Ree. The things that nothing magical happens when you get married. The way people are before you marry them is the way that they will be after. So pay attention to the dynamics of your relationship. This is, in a nutshell, pay attention to the dynamics of your relationship before you get married, because it's going to be the same thing after you get married. Nothing magical will happen or change. And I think that people don't understand that relationships are work and marriages are work. It is a job, and it is a choice to do the right thing. It is a choice. My opinion on the monogamy thing is, I think that being monogamous is a choice. You will always be attracted to other people. You will always be sexually attracted to other people. If monogamy was natural, then why don't those feelings go away?
So but you think it's a choice, but not natural.
And this is just my opinion. If anybody listening, no. It is not natural to find one person and roll over and look at one person every day for the rest of your life. Okay. Is that not, listen, to be clear.
I wanted to get it live on air.
to be clear, I think that marriage is probably, I think marriage is an amazing idea. I think being married is the dopest thing ever. But I think that it is a choice. You choose to love. You choose to go home. You choose to dedicate yourself. I'm like, if it was so natural, why are people still, you know, sexually attracted to other people? Why don't those feelings go away? Somebody's listening right now. And if you were to ask them, and I love to hear people tell this lie. You know, once I got with you, you know, I don't even really see other people. I don't see other attractive people. Whoever you are, they're lying. And if you said that, you're probably a liar. You saw attractive people before you got with that person. You saw attractive people. And if y'all break up, you mysteriously, these feelings are going to come back. You're going to see other attractive people. You're always going to be attracted to other people. The question is, what are the choices that you make? And I think that choice for some people is harder than others. Because some of us have choices that other people don't have.
Well, that's true. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think really, I never really wrap myself around whether it's natural or not. Because really the question is the choice beneficial? I believe the choice can be beneficial.
Agreed.
And it may not be beneficial for everyone. Like, you know, for some people, you know, it might be better for them to live the single life. And I don't even mean the single, like, bachelor, like, go crazy life. I mean, just some people, maybe they do more in the world when they're single. But I can definitely see how cleaving to someone, I mean, I think it's one of the most important decisions a person's going to make. But how cleaving to someone can really be helpful and help you prosper mentally, physically, economically, for the rest of your journey of life.
You are exact. Like the literature and the research is undeniable. Like people, men, especially for men are healthier. They live longer. They are healthier when they have partners. Financially, people thrive. Obviously, $60,000 is more than us living apart without $30,000. Which is one of the reasons why people stay in marriage is that they figure out how to make it work. If I don't like you and you don't like me, look, I can add, okay? Right. You know, I can do what they say, that arithmetic. Like, we can both live together better off $60,000 and $30,000. Let's just make this work so we can both stay in the house and see our kids and live a better life, quality of life. I think there are a lot of people out there like that. But, so I think that you're exactly right. Like, the research and literature is undeniable. Like, there's so many benefits to being married that we can't question those. But like you said, I think there's some people are just better off in their space, having their own space in the world for whatever reason. I've heard people say whatever they get from relationship, they can get through other social relationships that they have, whether it be with friends or through work or through volunteering. They feel like they can get that from other places.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But specifically, people wanted us to talk about these dogs of men. It seems to be harder for men to be faithful than women. Again,
that's what they say.
I don't know how much truth is into that. But let's talk about what you heard, what you saw online. And again, before we move forward, station identification. Again, this is Marsh University, WMUL 88.1 FM on your dial. Again, this is Dr. Nate Chapman, Dr. Keelan Hinton. This is Brother to Brother, a show about community, mental health, love, relationship, attachments, and everything else in between. Okay. So we're moving on, move forward. Today we're talking about infidelity. We're talking about cheating. We're talking about relationships. Is monogamy natural? Most importantly and more specifically, men. And do men have an issue or a problem with being faithful? And if so, why? What is the problem and why? So Dr. Chapman was just explaining to us what he saw online that sort of spurred this topic.
Okay. All right. For all my listeners now, it was like a 40-minute YouTube clip. I turned it on and I listened to it for a few minutes, and then I just decided to do other things with my time. But for that minute I listened to it, the point I got from it was that she was saying the reason that she believes men cheat is because it's like they got a five and they really didn't want no five. They wanted, like, you know, a seven, at least a seven or eight, and that opportunity presented itself, and that's what led. That's from, you know, I only listened to it for like a minute, but that perspective had me thinking, oh, let's talk about this. Let's see what we think.
What do I think? I think the issue is settling. Do men settle? I don't know if that is particular and specific to men. I think every for the most part, I think that everybody, I think most people settle. I won't say everybody. I think a lot of people settle because we're
gonna get a lot of people in trouble because hey. Now people gonna be like, hey, did you? I hear this. They talking about, did you settle for me?
Look, that ain't my fault. You better for those that's listening, there is this technique called bob and weave. You better figure out how to bob and weave and figure it out. But that's true. I think that there are a lot of people in the world who settle. I think a lot of people settle. And I think that we settle because we've been told this, like we've been given this bill of goods. There are no perfect people. You know, we're taught that there are no perfect people in the world. And you got to figure out what you can live with and figure out what you can live without. And a part of what happens is people end up unhappy. There are things that are important to them that they say, this person has most of them and they don't have this. So, you know, they got all of these things. Nobody's perfect. I can do without that. And then 3 years and 4 years into the relationship, you miss that thing. You miss that thing that you said you could do without. So now you feel empty. You don't feel complete. And then here come Dexter at work. And Dexter is tall and he's handsome and he's everything that your husband ain't. Or here comes Judy. And Judy's everything. That's it. She is everything that your wife ain't. And he or she has those things that you said you could do without. Well, Judy got them. So all of a sudden now, you feel like you've been missing something. And this person, you feel like, and you lie to yourself and tell yourself that this person can give you what you've been missing out on. And maybe they can. So the question is, what are the ramifications of that? That's the question. Do people settle? I don't think that men settle any more than women settle. I think there are a lot of women out there that was like, and this is for a lot of men out there. This is true. A lot of men out there, when your wife, I heard somebody make a joke about it, and it's probably true. When your wife looking at you on the couch and she's mad and she's upset and she's not saying nothing, she looking at you because you was number two. She's mad that she married number two. And you looking at her and like, what's wrong? She's like, nothing.
That's funny.
She don't got nothing. So I actually told a joke about it. But I think that's true to some extent. We look at our lives. We ended up having a relationship. I ended up getting pregnant. I tell people that all the time. Before you have sex with somebody, ask yourself, if this person got pregnant, would you be happy? If this person got pregnant, or you got pregnant by this person, would you be like, how would you feel? Would you be happy? And if you can't say you'd be happy, should you be having sex with this person? It's something that I think it's something to think about. I think that sometimes we make choices that we're just with people temporarily, and we end up making permanent decisions.
You know what? I mean, I can't disagree with that. I have some other reasons, like what she said about why guys cheat. I think there's some other things outside of that. But just speaking to that hypothesis, I think there are many people, and they're not just men, that end up in situations where, and it's not necessarily just that they settle for number two. I think sometimes people get in relationships, you know, and it might be the first relationship they had, and then they never try anything else, you know, or they just figure, hey, this is the one I should stay with. I see that with people that I work with. I work with couples mainly. And it'll be like they've been together for so many years, and one of the statements that'll be said will be something like, I think it's just that they might say something like, oh, well, we never known anybody else, or, you know, we got into it too soon, even though they've been married for like 20 years. And I think the whole issue is that the underneath that is like, I didn't try anybody else. Not that you were number two or number whatever, but I don't know, because I didn't even really, I didn't, what if, there's something better. something happened in that relationship that caused a comparison. Grass is greener, like you on your job and you're, I'm saying, I really like this job. I want to go to another job. You start thinking about these other jobs.
Yeah.
Something happened in the transactions in that relationship. It might not always be that they were always number two, but something along the lines had this person start thinking like, I don't know, man, I shouldn't have really bought this. If we want to act like it's a car, I shouldn't have bought this car. I should have got, this was the first car I saw. Why did I buy this one? I should have tried this other car.
Yeah.
I think that happens sometimes too.
So do you think that, is it always something happens that make people question their?
I think it's a series of things. It's not like one thing. It's a series of things. You know, like it could be in one's mind, they really can't put their finger on it. They just think it's the annoying way this person chews on their cereal.
But yeah.
It's like a whole bunch of other things that have just added up over the years. And I think what they boil down to is a basic question. To some degree, I don't think that, particularly with men, that this is always the reason they cheat. But like one thing I think is really involved with infidelity is some score keeping unconsciously of betrayals. And betrayals are not always sexual. Sometimes a betrayal is, I tried to talk to you about how my day was, and you ignored me. You were making fun of me with your parent, and you were against me. And then these things add up over a course of time. And then the other situations present themselves, like maybe a colleague that you just get too close to, start breaking boundaries, and all of a sudden that happens. I think that happens sometimes too.
Yeah, I think that is so important. And man, look, men are vultures. So don't come to work sad. Don't come to work mad. Don't come to work upset. Because I think it's interesting how some men, I will say some men are vultures, and they waiting for you to come in and work upset or mad at your partner. He said, what? I think you look just fine, just the way you are. Ooh. Like you said, I'm already mad, I'm already upset, I got these series of, I feel like I can't talk to you or speak to you, and there's somebody at work that just seems so easy to speak to. Now, maybe the person at work who eventually becomes your side, whatever,
mm-hmm.
maybe they're so easy, you know, they don't have to deal with all the parts and pieces of her. The reason that you feel, for all the anyone out there that's cheating now, the reason that your mistress or your Mr. Cleanup Man seems so easy to speak to because he don't have to deal with you every day, all day. She don't have to deal with your stuff every day, all day. They only get the good parts and pieces of you. This is why the relationship that you're having outside of your permanent relationship or your marriage or your whatever it is, this is why it seems so great, because every day's a holiday, because they don't have to put up with the fact that you leave your socks outside the hamper, or that you won't wash the car, or that you won't have washed dishes, or you came in house with an attitude. They don't have to roll over and look at you every day. So every day seems like, you know, every day seems like Christmas. It's one of the things that when I talk to people who have been in long-distance relationships and they're going to get married, and they haven't been in the same city or lived together or nothing for years, I'm like, every day y'all see each other is Christmas. You haven't had an opportunity. I'm not saying don't get married. I never tell people what to do, but it's something to think about. If we've stayed apart all this time, every day we see each other, we're excited, and it's new, and it's great. You know, you don't know what it's like to be in the same city with somebody and deal with somebody's stuff every day. And I think that that's a part or a piece that people don't see or understand when they step outside of their relationships. This other person seems, especially, I don't want to say just men, but just people in general, I think that that's something that they miss. That is definitely something that they miss.
Yeah, when I think going back to this idea of if you were number two, or if you just get so used to somebody, and then bringing it specifically to men, going to this type of work situation where I think little situations add up over the course of time. I don't feel like you were here for me when I had this going on, or you feel like you hardly ever pay attention to me, you pay attention to other things. And the other partner may not be aware of those things because they just may not be a big deal to them overall. Again, I'm not saying it's the only reason that men cheat. People cheat for a lot of reasons. It might just be sexual. But I think sometimes, from what I've seen in the people I work with, these are some underlying things that have been going on for a period of time that don't get noticed. It's like one partner feels, or maybe both, in the relationship, like certain things have not been acknowledged. And they seem like small things, but small slights add up to a big deal. And it's not like a tit for tat, like, well, I'm gonna cheat on you because you don't pay attention to me. But sometimes it may end up like that. So when this person goes to work and you said like it's like a Christmas with this other person, and then the boundaries start to go down and they feel like, you know, hey, this person is here to support me when this other person won't, that opens the door. And the door is gonna be even more open because now this person has the mindset of the grass might be greener. Like, if the grass is gonna be greener, I might as well put my foot in the grass and see what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Is there something different about men? Is it harder for men to be faithful? Honestly, what do you think?
I mean, I think statistically, the data says that men think about sex a lot more than women do. So I guess if your probability of thinking about something is higher than the other gender, then that might lead to the likelihood of you acting on it more than others.
That is such a political answer. Let me know when I can contribute to your campaign. I think that a woman's investment in a relationship, I think our investments in relationship are different because women have children.
Okay.
And because women have children, like, I wonder if a woman's dedication to the group can be, I'm not saying it is, but it can be very different because I have children and I need this person to be here to help me care for these children. So I wonder, does that affect women's level of wanting to be engaged, wanting not ring engaged, I mean just sort of from a dynamic perspective, wanting to be engaged and be in relationship, because the consequences of relationships not working out are very different for men and women, because typically women end up with the kids. So it's kind of like doing everything I can to make this work is important.
No, I mean, I think that's a good point. And then even after you think about relationships that develop after there's, you know, they have a kid that's from another relationship, then that puts them in a different situation. I think the other thing culturally, so I think I might've told you about this book that I read. It's called The Female Brain. I think it's by Lewin Brezendine. And one of the things it talks about in that book, it talks about early on where there are certain parts of, you know, estrogen, different things that are flooded in the brain that make it more likely for a woman to concentrate on relationships, whereas the young boy is concentrating on competition. And even if we just think about the societal things, if you don't want to think it's a brain thing, that's fine. I'm just telling you what the book says. But even if you think about societal contributions to that, men are more, competition is encouraged. And, you know, you remember when you're young, it's about how many numbers did you get, regardless if you got a girl or not. Like, it's like how many numbers, and that's a thing that is cultivated throughout culture more so for men, which I think also contributes to this cheating problem.
Yeah, I've said as what I always say is I think that men are chasing masculinity. I think that, you know, you hear men want to be with multiple women at once. You can't handle one woman. Why would you want to be with multiple women? Because it speaks to masculinity. It speaks to identity. It speaks to my ego. It's ego. It's identity. It's men chasing masculinity, wanting to feel like a man. You know, I always say that men, all the women in the world, why would you want to deal with someone else's woman? For me, that makes no sense. Why would you want to deal with somebody else's woman? Because I am more man than he is. I think a lot of what we do is about us. And it's about men trying to feel like a man, whatever that is. That's a whole nother show for another day. I think it's men chasing masculinity, its identity. It's men wanting to feel like a man. Like I always say, the reason that there's so much fighting and the other F is so much sex. And my numbers is, you know, we don't have a marker when we become a man. For women, it's when they menstruate. We don't know when we're a man. So we do all of these things to prove our masculinity, to prove that we are men. And I think that for whatever reason, sex and the quote unquote conquest of women, I don't know how that became a staple of masculinity and manhood, you know, but I think you're exactly right. Like, I think that that's a larger part of it.
But yeah, I mean, I think even if you want to go back to your perspective you were saying earlier, I could hear someone using an evolutionary perspective and saying it's about the idea of planting seeds in the animal kingdom. That's how it might be. I think the other thing that it's interesting about this dilemma is there's all these levels. Like, you know, there's the levels we mentioned earlier. If it is someone who felt like they hit number one, number two, or there are the many emotional betrayals that happen in relationships that might lead to it. But then there's also what might could be going on with the person. These things could all be happening together. But it could be, like you said, it really has nothing to do. I think this is hard for the person who's been betrayed or cheated on. It has nothing to do with you actually at all. It has everything to do with that person who did it. In this case, if it's a male, maybe it's about ego. And maybe there are some other areas in their life where ego's not being satisfied. It has nothing to do with you in the relationship, but this is how I'm going to satisfy it. Like, I don't like my job. I feel like I'm downtrodden, you know, the relationship, you're doing what you could. It's a good relationship, but I want to satisfy that part of my ego by having these conquests. And that's the only way I feel like I can do it. Or, you know, if this person does have success, sometimes that's like a thing they just want to add on to it. Like, oh, I mean, this is another part of it. I should have, you know, along with the cars and the money.
I didn't mean to cut you off. That is something that we don't talk about, that people don't talk about, that I think is very true. That a part of success, like, for men, we feel like a part of success is women. Women come along. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying I think that a lot of times men feel like a part of being successful is being able to have women. How many people became a rock star because, or they played, you know, they played in the band or became a rock star or wanted to be an athlete because they thought that women came along with the whole deal. Now that starts an entirely different conversation that we don't even need to get into. We probably need to have some guests come on and talk about this as well, because then we need to talk about the idea of, are women attracted, from an evolutionary perspective, are women attracted to powerful men?
Oh boy. So I think this is an interesting topic, and I really want to have that discussion. I think it would be interesting because I don't know, it's not like I believe that that's the case for nothing is the case for all.
Anything. I mean, of course, for it's not. Yeah.
But I think that there would be some people that would be in denial about that. Like, that they might say one thing and actually do, you know, it doesn't matter to me. But then you don't see them with anybody who's broke. You know what I mean? I don't care about that. Yeah, you do.
That's a good point. I think that as we do a part two and maybe even a part three, somebody is going to get into us if we don't have a balanced perspective. So maybe you need to search. You can search and find somebody that's willing to speak from that perspective.
Yeah.
You know, are women attracted to powerful men, to powerful speakers, to notable men? Something to think about. I have a theory on why men cheat. Okay?
Okay, what's your theory?
This is not published.
This is the Hinton theory.
This is the Hinton theory of why men cheat, and I've put this together in my head, and I truly, truly believe this. I believe that, well, it's not the sole reason why men cheat, but I think it's a larger part of, I think relationship dynamics play an important part in why a lot of dudes figure out that they're unhappy with who they with. And they step outside of their relationship. I believe, and be honest with me about how you feel about this, I think that relationship dynamics play an important part in men not getting to know their partners. So let's think about relationship dynamics. I think that men spend so much time, effort, and energy into chasing someone. As a man, it is your job to prove that you are a suitable man. So you have to take this woman out. You have to show her you have a nice car. You have to show her that you have things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is a, like, from a societal perspective, men chase women. You hear women like, so I need to take her out. I need to wine and dine her. Like, I think that we spend so much of our time, effort, and energy chasing women that when we finally get them, and we finally get married, and we get to know each other, I start to realize that maybe you didn't have some of the characteristics that I thought that you did.
Man.
Now, I know that sounds, hold on, I want to say my deepest apologies. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I know that sounds ugly, but again, either we're going to be, you know, we're going to say the right thing. You're going to say the right thing, or we're going to say the honest thing. And I think that for a lot of men, that's what happened. We spend all of our energy chasing that when I finally get you, I finally realize that we're not compatible. Because I don't think that women are taught by society that it is just as much your responsibility to catch me and chase me as it is for me to catch you and chase you. Now, somebody's going to say, I got to cook, I got to clean, you want me to do all it? No. I don't think that that responsibility is the same for men and women. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that. Like, I think as you get older, hopefully you get a little wiser. I mean, and it's not always an automatic, because, you know, it's not, wisdom don't automatically come with age. But I know the younger me would spend a lot more time on that and then just not realize what's in front of me until I spent all this energy on it. So what I think will happen, it's for men in general, research suggests it's more about aesthetics. It's more about how they look, right? That's the important thing that really brings you in. That's not the same thing for women. A lot, they're lucky, I guess, in that respect. But so it's like, oh, if she looked good, okay, everything's probably gonna be good. But then I gotta go through all this effort to make sure, since I think she looked good, that I'm gonna be what she needs. You know, I gotta make sure I show her I got the job, that I can provide, that I can do this, that I'm a good dude. But not that I'm too good of a dude, I gotta be a dude with a little bit of edge, so she with it. You know, like, that's the, yeah, all these things that you gotta go through. And then when you did all that and you guys become an item, you spend all the energy doing that, you really didn't look at what you were pursuing or who you were pursuing. And you might find yourself in a situation where you really don't like that. But you could feel like, sometimes what happens is people feel like, oh, now I got myself in this situation, I gotta stay in this situation. But if I gotta stay in my situation and I don't like it, maybe I just step out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Now I'm here, and we got little Jimmy and little Sarah in the back room. And I tell people all the time, man, people talk about, it's one of the reasons why I have so much respect for women who leave abusive situations. You know, from the outside, you're kind of like, just leave, just leave. And her girlfriends are like, just leave. It's one thing that if you and your boyfriend got an apartment on Fifth Avenue, it is another thing for your life to be intertwined with someone else's life.
Right.
It is not easy to leave someone. So that's why I say I have so much respect for women who endure those situations, because it's hard. My kids love their daddy. Maybe I came from a, my family was messed up when I was a kid. You don't want the same things that you had as a kid. All these things are going through people's mind. But to leave that situation is hard because your life becomes intertwined with someone else's life. We got a car. We got 401k. Like, there are people right now that's listening to this that you know. Y'all know. Y'all looking at each other. Y'all know y'all don't like each other. But you don't leave because what are we going to do? It's hard to leave somebody, and we got 401ks, we got a house, we got a car, we got kids, we got putting the kids through school. Like, all of that, all of those things complicate things. I'm saying that to say, I think we're talking specifically about men right now. I've chased this woman all this time. I've done all of this proving, trying to prove of who I am. I get this partner, and then, only then, do I start to realize all these other parts and pieces and things that should be important to me that nobody ever told me should be important. as a man, no one tells you or no one teaches us the things that should be important to us in relationships. Does she look good? Can she have kids? Can she cook? Like, no one tells us. Like women have the right idea. Money should matter. Someone's potential should matter. These things should matter, but as men, they don't teach us those things. So all of a sudden, you get into a relationship, you get married, you get committed, and then all of a sudden, you start to realize all these things that should matter to you that you didn't know should matter. Now you don't know what to do if she has some of them, two of them, three of them, none of them, all of them.
Right, and I think the other part about that is, so while you're chasing and you don't recognize it, it's not just that no one's taught you. Even if someone has taught you some things you should know, you might have to learn it with experience. So I advise people when I have conversations with people about these things to really date. Like, dating meaning like you're not necessarily committed yet. You're trying to see what's happening before you rush into a situation so you can see if that's really what you want, so you can look at the situation and know what's up. I think that when a person goes through that process and they don't have a time to really judge it, they feel trapped and they don't know what to do. And being able to realize that I have value too. Like, not it's not just about proving that you have value. Like, that's the game. Like, okay, like we're gonna go ahead and chase. I gotta prove to her I have value, but you do have value. So what value do they have?
Yeah.
Besides the way they look. Like, I have to take time, like a job interview. Okay, when they say, you know, I'm going on this interview, I'm glad to have this interview, but also I'm interviewing you.
Yeah.
But I don't think that a lot of men have that mindset when it's like they really think, oh, she's a dime. But I don't, I got to be making sure I prove, instead of this is just what would be a two-way interview.
And I think that, again, I don't know if men feel like they have the leeway to do that, because we're taught, you know, if a woman says that she's going, a man has to prove himself to be intimate with her, well, she knows her worth. If I were to turn around and tell a woman she has to prove that she's good enough for me to lay down with, I'm a narcissist. So it's like the question is, do men have the leeway to actually, to say, like, can a man say, I am someone of value? That a woman has to show, you know, I'm a king, you have to show me that you're a queen. People would look at you like you are insane if you said that as a man, and they would call you a narcissist. So it's like, I don't know if men, it's like, you know, with a lot of other things with men and exploring their feelings and emotions, I don't know if we have leeway in the same way that women do to be able to express ourselves in that way. To be able to explore the world that way, especially when it comes to relationships. I think that we are very, very much, with as progressive as we are, at the end of the day, I think evolution wins. And I think that a lot of those things haven't gone away. It is a man's job. The everyday average person on the street feels like it is a man's job to provide and protect. And if you want a woman, it is your job to show that you are a protector and a provider. And it is one of the reasons why we raise, you know, both of us, and for those that are out there listening, Marshall University is having a men's week next week. And we will both be on a panel to talk about men's issues and stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons why we raise our boys the way we do. You know, is because we know what happens to, quote unquote, weak men. We know what happens to our boys if they are not alpha males. They don't get relationships.
Well, that's another interesting point, because in that man's repertoire, he might want a queen that can support his emotional side, right? And he might not even feel comfortable to test that because of what that means for society, which means he'll end up in a situation he don't want to be in, because he'll be with someone who doesn't align with him emotionally.
Yeah. And again, we're not saying, right now we're just specifically talking about men. We're not saying that women don't have, I know if somebody screaming at their radio or at their computer screen or their telephone right now, you know, talking King Cash Money Trash about men, saying we go through the same thing. And we believe that women do. We're not saying that women don't have the same issues. We're not saying that women don't pick up bums. We're not saying that men don't. We're not saying that men don't present themselves as one thing. And then you get a man, and you get a man out over time, you find out he's something else. We're not saying that any of those things don't happen. But again, this is why this will probably be a 2-part series and probably a 3-part series, depending upon how, because the hour is almost up now, depending upon how we, you know, how quickly we get through some of these issues. We're not saying that women don't have the same issues, but we're just specifically talking about men now and men issues. And
and we're speaking from, you know, this is brother to brother. We're speaking from men's perspective. That's just the perspective we hold. That doesn't even mean it's right. That's just what we're thinking.
Yeah. And I know somebody's saying, you got to have balance. So maybe we will bring on some
maybe we won't. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? We should be able to just have a space. Can brothers have a space where we can have conversations?
and again, as Dr. Chapman said, maybe we won't.
No, I mean, I don't mean it like that. No.
Yeah, he mean exactly what he said. No, but it's something to think about. I want people to think about that. You know, I want men, any men out there listening, and to be honest, do we spend so much time chasing that we never really, we don't think about what are the important qualities and what are the important things that we need in relationships until we're in the relationship and we're too late? And I know to some extent everybody does that, but I wonder if that is very, very, very specific to men, because social relationship dynamics tell us that it is our job to chase, make ourselves attractive, and catch a woman. You know, and as archaic as it may sound to some, I don't think that those dynamics have gone away in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Women still, if I ask a woman, like, I saw something online about it was a woman proposing to a man, and it said, would you propose to a man? And everybody in the comments, every woman was like, no, that's ridiculous, she done played herself, all this kind of stuff. And it's just kind of like, so that lets me know that those dynamics of, we have roles in society to play when it comes to relationships, those ideas haven't gone away. There's certain things that men are supposed to do. A man is supposed to take you out. He's supposed to come and pick you up. He's supposed to pay for dinner. Like, there are things he's supposed to do. And if a man asks you to pay dinner or to come pick him up, your friends would look at you like you was crazy. Girl, he male. He ain't a man. You got to pick him up. He ain't got a car. What you mean you paying for dinner? Like,
let me tell you this story I heard real quick and see what your thoughts are. I know we run out of time, but I heard this story about this person who went on a date. It's female. She went on a date, and it was like a doctor that picked her up, and he picked her up in like a Porsche, took her to a real fancy restaurant, like lobster and all that. When it came time for the check, the waiter brought one check, and he was like, "Oh no, we're going Dutch on this." And
say again.
And she had to pay her own half. So
what do I think about it? And your voice faded out. But what I don't think there's anything wrong. I think that whatever the dynamics are before we go out need to be discussed before we go out. Because I don't want you to make any assumptions. If I'm not paying, I don't want you to make any assumptions that I am. What is that? My philosophy is whoever asks should pay.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's so funny. Because can you hear me now? Can you hear me all right? You still not hearing me?
Barely, but I got you. You fading out a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on with the mic. Am I okay now?
Yeah, I can hear you barely, but you fading out just a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, but
there you are.
It's just interesting to me with that situation, because he invited her. It's not necessarily about what kind of car the guy was driving, but he invited her. He decided to take her to a specific restaurant that was a fancy restaurant, and I'm just like, if you make that decision to take her there, then that seems to me like, okay, in that situation, you should pay instead of just saying Dutch. Because maybe if she knew it was going to be Dutch, first of all, she might have ordered something different. She might have not gotten the lobster or whatever. I think a person should know that in advance.
Yeah, I agree. I think that those things should be discussed before you go out, because the assumption, but again, that proves my point. the assumption always is you are a man. You're supposed to pick her up. You're supposed to pay. And again, relationship dynamics are such that it is your job to prove that you are an appropriate suitor. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that is a part of the issue. Again, I could be wrong. I don't know. But I just feel like we're all trying to probably prove, like women are trying to prove that they're attractive to catch a man and keep a man. Like, I think that we're all trying to prove things, just we just in different lanes and in different areas. You know what I'm saying? But I think that when it comes to what I mentally and emotionally need to feel fulfilled in relationships, I don't think that as men, we're not taught those things. You know, if she looks good, she can have kids, maybe she can cook or whatever. Like, we aren't really taught about things that should really matter. We aren't taught, you know, what a woman makes, her financial income. All those things should matter to us because you're supposed to be the provider and the protector. Why should you care about any of that stuff? You know, you're not a man if you ain't providing and protecting for your family anyway. Like those kinds of things.
Right. Or how, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, got you now.
Or how she even treats finances. You know, what's her credit like? What's, you know, all those things matter too. How's she going to treat you? You know, just because she look good doesn't mean she's going to be supportive.
Yeah. Emotional. How many, I heard a, man, ran up all the time. I heard a woman say once, she said, I've met men that could run multi-million dollar corporations and companies, but they were all suckers for a beautiful woman. No matter what she knew, she didn't have to. All men are suckers for pretty women. Like, they were some of the greatest thinkers in the world. Like, they could run million-dollar companies, but when it came to women, if she was pretty, like, you just, men can't think straight. And again, maybe a part of that is evolutionary. For us to say, I don't think that we've lost a lot of that stuff. The reason that when people get scared, they freeze and they can't move, that's evolution. Like, we can't say that all of those things have been worked out of our DNA, have been worked out of our genetics. And maybe that's just something genetic, you know?
Mm.
So, I don't know. Again, we are up on the hour, and we are people. We've actually just started to scratch the surface of a lot of this. So maybe next week when we come back again, we'll start back with men, and we'll talk about, we'll continue to this discussion about why do men cheat, and maybe we'll talk about some theories and ideas of why women cheat, and then from there we'll talk about, when we talk about infidelity, and when people have transgressions in relationships, maybe we'll start to talk about how do you get past that. You know, is cheating, is sex in a relationship, is that the nail, quote unquote, the nail in the coffin? Is that the unforgivable, and can couples get past that?
Yeah, and we'll hit it with some different angles. So I know for some of y'all, it is the nail in the coffin. For others, though, it's not. And we'll talk about how you can work through it.
Sounds good. Again, we always want to say thank you for those who continue to listen, who continue to support the show. Again, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, you can catch us and you can contact us on B2B Psych. That's B, the number 2B, P-S-Y-C-H, B2B Psych@gmail.com. And as we always say, as I always say when we lead out, you know, graveyards are full of regret and potential. Make sure that you are living a life that makes you feel full, that makes you feel healthy, that makes you feel whole. Make sure you're loving the people in your life. Make sure they know that you love them, and make sure you're doing something in life that sets your soul on fire. And as always, Dr. Chapman will take us out.
Yeah, I guess as I'm thinking about all the different places we went tonight, you know, we explored, that we started to tip on the tip of why men cheat and different dynamics in relationship. I guess maybe I would speak to men just for a second and ask you, are you taking time to value yourself? And that means no, that statement is not meant with no disrespect to women, but we've grown up and we've learned that we need to present ourselves in a certain way in order to get the girl. And it's all about making sure we impress. And It's all about, even if we are the nice guy, making sure we have a little rough edge. It's all about these things that we need to do to get in their good graces. And I think sometimes what happens when we stay in that dance is we diminish who we are and what we want and what we need in a relationship. And if we can remember how to value ourselves, there's nothing wrong with valuing yourself. Valuing yourself and narcissism are not the same thing. Actually, I believe that your relationship will be stronger and your queen will really appreciate it. She's truly your queen. Every queen wants a king that knows his value. You ain't got to be the lion that's roaring in the jungle, but know you're a lion. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.
Told, paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed.